Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. At 3:20, we're going to have Lori Sain, former state representative, current county commissioner up there in Weld County, talking about, you won't believe it, the rhinos, they want to support open borders there and are shooting down her proposal to say, hey, well, just to clarify, Weld is not a sanctuary county. We'll be talking to her about that. But first, Chuck, Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday, and our beloved bird brain girl is out.
She's, Nikki Haley.
Yeah, Nikki Haley has said, I'm out. Says Trump is going to have to earn all her Democrat supporters' vote.
Well, it's, I mean, let's break this down a little bit. One, Nikki Haley in her speech said she's gone further than any woman has gone in a presidential race. I'm like, well, that was Hillary Clinton. I mean, I don't know. She seemed to have gone fairly far, it seems to me. I think Marianne Williamson even got as far as Nikki. I mean, I don't know. It's like, I mean, far. It's kind of like losing the race. And I saw it was a parody. It was like Nikki Haley is like, I have been the best at losing forever of any woman who's ever run for Republican nomination. I've lost more than anyone. In fact, I've lost so much that I'm going to stop and completely lose. And all of my donors have said, I've lost so much. They're not going to give me any more money. Hooray for me. But you're right. I mean, a poll, an exit poll out of Virginia said that 92% of her supporters approved of Biden, right? So it's silly to say Trump can win them over, but a great night for Dunn.
One thing, you know, Margaret Thatcher, right? I mean, did you ever hear Margaret Thatcher going, I am the first woman Prime Minister, I am the first woman.
Right.
No, she never did. She just said, you know, I'm a prime minister and I'm going to do a great job. And she didn't have to, you know, she came from a very modest background. I'm the first from a shopkeeper who slept above their thing. No, she didn't do any of that. She just, and that's what's wrong with Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley was all gender and puffballness.
Well, and, you know, and not only that, but it implicit in that is the fact that we're discriminating against her because she's a woman, right? That right. The only reason, it's not that she's an idiot and no one liked her policies, and that she was essentially a traitor to the Republican Party. And she's not going to endorse Trump, nor as she said, according to Politico, that she won't stop attacking Trump. So I'm sure we're going to see her.
Go
I
ahead.
Mean, Liz,
you know,
Liz Cheney,
chorus.
Yeah, she said she's just going to make the circuit there. But I think it was a great night for Trump. I think, interestingly and appropriately, he didn't even mention Nikki Haley in his speech last night.
Right,
but he
right.
basically won everything but Vermont. Vermont was largely Democrats. I think they figure next week he will have enough delegates to clinch the nomination, even though there's no one else running now. But, you know, I want to talk about here in Colorado, it's kind of interesting. I know we talked to Dave Williams. He said he predicted Nikki Haley would get about 30%. I think she got roughly 34-35%.
Yeah, well, you always forget my prediction. How much did I say Nikki was going
to
get?
You thought she would get closer to 40, right?
Oh, I said 35. I was right online.
Oh, you were right on the money.
Well,
wow.
You forgot the Chuck is right again thing.
We should play that. The Chuck is right again. Well, what were you basing that on? How did it turn out that you were so correct?
Because it seemed to me she probably had 25% support. She would have been her 28, which is really what it is in a lot of states on Super Tuesday, except for the fact that you get two ballots and the Democratic one was irrelevant. So a lot of Democrats are really unaffiliated people, technically unaffiliated, filled out the Republican one and voted for Nikki Haley, which gave her another 7, 8, 10%. I mean,
right.
I don't think she has 35% support among Republicans. I mean, she's much lower than that. But, you know, it's just like, you know, that's why they love the mail-in, you know,
oh, the
control everything kind of deal.
Right. Well, if you look at it interestingly, and again, I think it's you can't really say this based on the primary because, like you said, of some of the people who were Democrats who voted for Nikki. But so Donald Trump got in Colorado 518,000 votes. Joe Biden got 446,000. So if it was the general election, Trump would have won Colorado, right?
Well,
But
but
this.
you have to really remember during the last general election back in 22, when we had for governor and attorney, no, not attorney general, but governor and secretary of state and some other ones, the Republicans had lots more votes on primary day, a lot more votes. The problem is, once again, all the unaffiliates are really Democrats, go into the Republican one and vote for
And
Pam
yes.
Anderson and Joe O'Dea and so forth. But when the election comes, they just go back voting for Democrats.
Right. So,
And
yes, you
one
can't
of
have
the
been.
things that John Caldera, should we always say, Rhino John Caldera, said, by the Republicans, by getting, their ballot out there, makes it more likely that people will vote for Republicans. It's all BS. It's all BS. I mean, all that
Well, but
happens is
yes,
that
the Democrats
because
and
Democrats never have, or almost never have, contested primaries. They
right.
convince whoever is the person least likely to win to drop out. And so they all vote, they're unaffiliated, and so then they vote in the Republican
But they
one. And
meddle. They try to rig it in their things.
yeah. And I, we did that, whatever it is,
The
for
Karen Kadling conspiracy. Yeah,
Karen Gillan
when
conspiracy.
Jared Polis was running. Well, here, and this is from Thomas. This is actually one of the BBS hosts, Senator Michael Brown, interviewed Marianne Williamson just earlier today. She's still running,
Yeah,
apparently.
yeah.
And this from Jacob. And Jacob, this kind of segues into what I wanted to talk about. Is Boebert really going to try to recall Griswold, or is he just blowing steam? As you recall on the show Monday, Dave Williams, I think, kind of broke the news on our show that he was joining along with Lauren Boebert, and they were going to look into doing everything they could to get rid of Jenna Griswold, because she's clearly to be running the general election. She thinks Trump is an insurrectionist. She thinks he should be thrown off the ballot. She filed a lawsuit to try to keep him off the ballot. And if you look at the thing again, Jenna Griswold, and let's not forget the four traitor Republicans: Krista Kiefer, Michelle Priola, Claudine Camarda, and rhinoest of all, Norma Anderson, the four Republicans who tried to keep Colorado from being able to vote for Donald Trump, right? So let's just look at it. He got 518,000 votes. Those people, including Jenna Griswold, wanted to directly disenfranchise 518,000 people, right? If they had their way, none of those votes would count. And you just think of the arrogance and the I mean, that says everything that's wrong, I think, with the Rhino establishment, open borders, uniparty elite, right? They don't care that 518,000 people in Colorado wanted to vote for Donald Trump. They, the four of them, thought that they shouldn't be able to, so you shouldn't be able to. And Jenna Griswold's the worst of them. She doesn't even pretend anymore, does she, Chuck, to be nonpartisan about this
No.
election.
Well, but our show is called True Straight Up. And True Straight Up is no, they're not really going to recall her because that would require a great deal of money to get the signatures. And nobody has a great deal of money. There's, everybody, whatever money they have is going to run their, state house and Senate races. So, no, I mean, it is a way of getting her name out. And I think a good way because I think, whether she deserved to be recalled, I think she absolutely does. She's been a disaster. But it requires a lot of money, and our friend Uncle Phil isn't going to give anybody the money. And so, no, it's not really going to go anywhere. But I think it's great that Dave and the Republican Party have backed Lawrence call to do a.
Well, and I think I'm going to give her a little bit more credit than that too. In answer to Jacob, is she just blowing steam? I think it's more than that. I think you're right, Chuck, that if you were to say to Lauren Boebert and to the Colorado Republican Party at this point in 2024, should we be spending our money on a recall election that is, given the number of Democrats in the state, is probably not going to work. They would probably say, no, I agree. But I think, though, they can start gathering petitions, and I think they'd be
Well,
smart
there'll be volunteers,
right, to
and
go ahead. And that's the kind
it's just a publicity, but it's a good publicity ploy.
it's a good plot. Yeah. And I mean, and then you never know. I mean, mean, after we get through 2024, we can see what happens. Because I think, I mean, obviously, you have your head in the sand. So you have a Secretary of State who is being anything but impartial, who has, you know, who said Donald Trump should not be on the ballot. He's the nominee, right? So she's saying the lead Republican nominee should not be on the ballot because she doesn't like him, because she's declared him an insurrectionist.
But she was just as biased in 2022.
Exactly.
Rhino Pam Anderson ran against her and got endorsed by the Denver Post, as if that matters anymore, but she was. And the voters, the ballot harvested to their happiness and got her elected easily.
Right. Then this from Jacob. Boebert should be called Weiser too, Phil Weiser, the AG. I don't think he ever won a case. Well, that's true. He lost this one. I forgot. This was his office. And also from Jacob, did you see Norma Anderson with Sean Boyd the other night? I did not. I saw Norma Anderson early, and it's just disgusting and it's shameful. She should be ashamed of herself. She was a Republican Party leader. Now she became unaffiliated because she doesn't like Donald Trump. Okay, great. But to allow herself to be used as a pawn by the Democrats and the Soros group that was funding this lawsuit. And so she became a Republican solely so they could say that Republicans were funding this effort, right? I mean,
well, that was her whole career. I was lobbying down in the Capitol when she was a leader. And all she did was, hunker down with Democrats and always get in the Denver Post to go, oh, she's so bipartisan. Isn't she wonderfully bipartisan? I mean, it was always a crock. She was always a crock.
Wow. Well, and this also from Jacob. So Jenna Griswold was crying. Not a good sign for a leader or office holder. Funny. Griswold said we have to leave it up to the people to decide whether Trump should be president. No, we shouldn't. It's like not according to Jenna, which again makes you wonder. There are enough questions about the way elections are run in Colorado in the first place. I mean, everything from ballot trafficking to the voter rolls to the machines to everything.
Sending out 32,000 cards to illegal aliens saying, please register.
Right. And I saw in Denver what they're doing is they're signing up homeless people to vote. At the places where they hand out food, right? And they're like, and they said, no, granted, a lot of the homeless people actually don't really care. And I'm like, that's the whole point. Right. If you're a homeless person, right, it's like you don't care. Right. Somebody wants to sign you up to register to vote, give you some food while they're doing that. And then the ballot's going to be mailed back to that address. Let's see, from Sandra, Weiser was never a practicing attorney. He only taught. And then she says, I doubt it. Law. Let's see, Jacob going through Weiser saying he lost the Aurora police deal with the arrest using that drug. Can't remember the drug, but the officers were dragged in the court.
Ketamine.
Although I have to say, Jacob, in fairness, like Chuck said, it's the truth straight up. They did, and I think this is nuts, but convict the paramedic. So
yeah,
that's made
just sentenced to 5 years.
Sentenced to 5 years. And by the way, half of the people who are paramedics in Aurora have now, there's a step that they can go down. And so they don't have enough paramedics anymore, right? Because people are going to be like, okay, well, if you're going to throw me in jail, Phil Weiser, for making a split decision, screw it. You know what I mean? Find somebody else to go do that. And then from Charlene, that crew group that worked with the Colorado Rhinos was actually funded by Soros Open Society Group. That's right, Charlene. They were not... there weren't any Republicans. And again, I'm going to say, thank goodness for, because I think no one really defends Dave Williams. None of the basic establishment media, Sean Boyd, none of those guys do. Thank goodness for him for getting involved in this case, right? In the 14th Amendment case. On that note too, one other thing, the Supreme Court today announced that they will hear the does Trump or does Trump not have immunity question on April 25th. And apparently the court observers say that makes a ruling in late June likely, which the way I understand it in Trump, it's a red hat. Chuck, you're the lawyer. So the ruling comes down in June, and then that kind of starts the whole case has been put on hold. So depending on what they rule and how they rule, I think there's a lot of thought that they won't give him blanket broad immunity, but there will be maybe a narrower immunity. So they have to sort that out. And where I'm going with that is I think that it makes it highly unlikely that there will be a trial before the election, right?
I disagree with that.
Okay.
The court and Jack Smith will do move heaven and earth to get it before the election.
Yes.
And she go, no, we're ready to go.
Okay.
So
Well, and on that front,
I don't, yes, normally there's no chance you'd have a trial by then, but then that assumes honest administrators, and you don't have that.
no, that's true. Well, and so speaking of that, so now did you see what's going on in Arizona? The the Democrat attorney general in Arizona is kind of taking up the Georgia case. Now that it looks like Fannie Willis's case is kind of falling apart more and more, Georgia is now saying they are going to start issuing subpoenas to Trump allies in Arizona to launch some kind of investigation into Trump and his allies trying to overthrow the election in Arizona. So that's
Excellent.
what's, yeah, exactly. So,
Excellent.
I mean, it never
Excellent.
ends. I don't know though, if I were a Democrat operative, it's kind of like Nikki Haley. The more she attacked Donald Trump, the more people hated her, right? The more law cases they file against Donald Trump, it's almost like the more he can continue to say, there it's unfair, it's illegal, what they're going to do to me, they would be happy to do to you too. And I think it just makes him stronger, don't you?
Well, in some sense it does. In other senses, how many lawsuits do you have to? I know John Eastman's involved, the one in Georgia, and now they're going to do Arizona. I mean, it's just, and of course, Republicans do nothing. They never fight back. So.
Exactly. Let's go back to hello, maybe at least federally again, because they're talking about, the budget, and of course they're all passing the, continuing resolution that they swore they weren't going to pass ever again. They could just defund it, right? They could say, I know, Jack Smith, we've been
Yeah.
defunding, because do you think for a second the Democrats would hesitate to do that? No.
No.
No, they would do it. But let's see, this from Jacob. Another Supreme Court thing. So the January 6th prisoners were overcharged. That's right. That could have
Well,
a
some of them were
somewhere.
overcharged. I mean,
Some were overcharged. I mean, and oversentenced.
woo, woo. I mean, they've really brought justice back, and the whole
Well, better than
proceedings are
nothing, though.
grotesque.
Better than nothing. And
Well,
then this is even better. Kristen Sinema announced that she will not be running for re-election this year, leaving the Senate after one term that saw her paint Arizona blue, leaving the Democrat Party and playing a key role in numerous legislative negotiations in the highly divided Senate. Yeah, apparently, what do you make of her dropping out?
As a practical matter, she was third in a three-way race. She couldn't raise any money. She had no apparatus of the Democratic Party. He was going to Gallegos. So there was really no purpose for her continued. I'm interested what that results. I mean, you would think that more than half of her votes would go over to Gallegos and not to Lake, but I guess it's hard to tell exactly. But I think that's probably not good news for Lake, but hard to tell.
Yeah, because I've read it both ways, right? Which means that no one knows. And I think you look at sort of independent voters now, and it's hard to tell. And I guess I'm not that up to speed on how progressive the Democrat candidate is either. So,
Very progressive. Very
okay,
progressive.
so oh,
He
Jacob
just
says,
resigned. He resigned a couple of weeks from the Progressive Caucus
ah.
in the
So
House. So
Jacob
that
says
tells you
Carrie Lake
how.
is still ahead in a two-way race. I do know he's. I have no idea why I'm on this guy's email list, but I get emails from him, the Democrat guy, saying that he is behind in the polls, but he's using it to raise money. And then this from Sandra. This is a perfect question, Sandra. I truly want to know what all these politicians and government employees are hiding. Why are they all afraid of Donald Trump? Chuck, I'll tee that up for you first, and then I'll give my answer.
Well, because you have a system that Trump tried to upset in when he got in 2016, and in 2020 now knows how to do it, and there's been enough people recruited to fill the offices to really change the bloated bureaucracy, the bloated, what they're doing to the armed forces, what he's doing all over the place. I mean, they should be afraid of him. They didn't have to be afraid of John McCain, Mitt Romney, Bob Dole. They had to be a little bit afraid of Ronald Reagan, although, he was not able to accomplish any of that. As Tom said, he was part of the Department of Education and just got bigger and bigger and bigger. No, if Donald Trump goes in again, he probably has he had the background and the desire and the need. To really shake up the federal government. And of course, the courts will try to stop it and all that. But
They'll fight it.
if I
And
was
I
them, I'd
think,
be afraid of them too.
And I think to broaden that out, because I absolutely agree with you, and to broaden it out, I think, again, you look at the World Economic Forum kind of thing, the global elites, right? The elites in academia, the elites in Hollywood, all of these people are making a lot of money on the backs of the American working class. And
Well, the infrastructure bill, which is really a supposed to be a, green energy bill and so
right.
forth, they're handing out to their friends and supporters billions of dollars.
Well, Ukraine,
Billions.
right?
Well,
Ukraine.
and Ukraine, of course, billions of dollars, 60 billion.
And Trump doesn't care about that. I think Trump is sincere, actually, when he says he cares about the American people. And all of that they've spent a long time putting together starts to crumble as well. So I think that's what they're afraid of, is that right now they rule the roost, right? And they've got all the control and all the power and all the money. And they don't want, as Chuck, you said, the peasants, that's us, to realize that, oh, wait a minute, we have some power too. And that's what they would do. I mean, it's only going to get worse. I think, you're seeing, again, in Arizona, for questioning the election results, they're going to be launching a criminal case just like they did in Georgia. That's no accident, right? They don't want us questioning anything. And I really do say they're paving the way to start calling us all domestic terrorists, right? And what you're seeing in January 6th, that's just sort of like the initial Russia hoax, right? That's just practice. So,
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
anyway, we have with us, I see she's here now, Lori Sain. A great grassroots warrior. She's fighting the valiant fight in Weld County. I just feel so, I mean, you're like in the heart of Rhino land up there in Weld County. I mean, you'd almost be better off being in Boulder, where at least the enemy was in plain sight. They weren't hiding behind things. But you have been, and well, first we'll talk about going on in Weld County, but I also want to applaud you for introducing a statewide resolution. But there are numerous Colorado counties, numerous Colorado cities, in wake of the disastrous Border Patrol stuff, in wake of the disaster that is now Denver, right, are issuing affirmations basically saying that they are not sanctuary cities. Now, Weld County is pretty red. So how's that going up there in Weld County?
Well, identifier is a county
Oh,
commissioner.
Weld County Commissioner. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yep, Lori Sain, Weld County Commissioner, District 3. So I introduced the resolution. It's somewhat similar to the statewide resolution that Dave Williams put out yesterday, but I added a couple more things in there because one of the commissioners said that he wanted more action. Well, the more action is essentially we use budget as policy. That's how we enact the things that we do. So when we spend money on something, we are basically affirming something, right?
Right.
And so we basically, that's how we do our jobs. Besides voting, we obviously have to vote to enact policy, but to carry out that policy, to execute it, you must use funding. And we usually use our departments or through our department heads to enact those policies and procedures. So the resolution also added that we will not misuse taxpayer funds through any Weld County departments. And that would be, things you'd think of normally, like Department of Health or Department of Human Services and such departments. And essentially just saying that we're not going to use taxpayer funds on this, nor will we aid or give grants to any city or town that is declaring themselves as a sanctuary city or town or found to be acting as such. And that's really important because we have departments that control grants for
Right.
CDBG and other
Sure.
things, and
Sure.
are giving money for projects to those towns. And obviously, we're making a statement that it's okay to aid sanctuary cities.
Right.
And I think we're going to find there may be some towns and cities who may want to do that. The Denver mayor was calling around. I was alerted by one of our mayors that he was asked to help with the immigration crisis. To either shelter illegals or fund it in some way, and bring them up through to Weld County. So obviously that is a danger to the health, welfare, and safety of our citizens. And we should act on that immediately. And
And
we should,
so you
yes.
proposed a resolution, and I'm assuming the other Weld County commissioner said, brilliant, great idea, and went along with you. Or is it, did it turn out like the other day when you tried to issue or to bring forth a resolution, you couldn't even get them to second it? How is that going?
Well, at least I got a second, but it did fail 3-2. So with one commissioner flip-flopping on a no and then a yes today, probably under pressure, which again, You shouldn't be pressured to do the right thing. It should just be the right thing. That's why we're elected as leaders, is to provide that leadership. And also to have that mantle of leadership to pass along to others. I've got towns and cities in Weld County that are one has already issued the resolution 2 weeks ago, the town of Keensburg. And I said today, should we even have the courage of the town of Keensburg to pass a resolution saying that we are not going to spend taxpayer money in aiding this federal immigration crisis? We couldn't even do what Keensburg did.
Well, and it's not, and I want to point out, so Sherry Pife, who is the CD8 chairperson for the Republican Party, there was, I saw it was on a Facebook thing where you were kind of posting that you were going to be issuing this resolution and sort of suggesting that people try to contact their county commissioner so they could support it, issued an extremely snarky comment saying something like, why don't you just show up and go to work and do your job rather than trying to constantly issue these controversial things and disrupt things?
Divisive, divisive.
Divisive. Yeah. You're being divisive. So I want to point out, number one, because I did a little bit of research. I mean, we're talking Douglas County, El Paso County, Kiowa County, Fremont County, Mesa County. I mean, the list goes on and on of other counties who have affirmed exactly what you were proposing. We are not a sanctuary city. We're talking Colorado Springs, Keensburg, Monument, numerous cities. Aurora is looking at it. Lakewood is looking at it, have done the same thing. This is, I mean, initially, I was shocked that a Republican chair of the new congressional district, because you'd think on the minds of voters, this whole immigration crisis is one of the biggest topics. And the fact that the chair of CD8's GOP district thinks that it's a forbidden topic is astonishing to me. But then I remembered that she works for the Independence Institute and Complete Colorado, which are funded by open borders, rhino establishment, billionaire financiers. Right, Chuck?
Yeah, that's really true. I'm curious, how did Weld County become such a, Boulder? I get, right? I don't get Mesa, tell you the truth. That's become a rhino enclave. But how did Weld become a rhino enclave? I mean, I'm told that the establishment, whoever that is, in Weld County has been in charge for a long time. But how did it all end up that, you have rhino after rhino. There's rhino wealth. I mean, it's just an amazing deal.
I think that's due to elections, and we've got a lot of people here that don't realize. I mean, most people don't pay attention to local government or county commissioners. They just don't. I think I told you a story of that. I got the cutest answer when I asked a group of Republicans, "What does a county commissioner do?" And one said, "Well, they commission," which is still the best answer I've ever heard, right? They don't really know, but your county commissioners have some of the most control of any individual in
Yes,
elected government, because they have
absolutely.
legislative, executive, and judicial, quasi-judicial. So we actually have quite a bit of power, especially over the rural parts of the county, which makes sense, right? That's our jurisdiction. If it's something's annexed, it's under the control of a city or a town. But when you're talking about Boulder County, I don't know. Let's just talk about action, because again, politicians can say whatever they want, especially at primary time. And then it's what they do, which is usually by voting, right? And today's vote is very telling about what they think of the opinions of the people who have asked for this anti-sanctuary resolution, especially after they just passed the resolution. I'm not kidding you. The resolution right before this one was supporting the University of Northern Colorado, which, by the way, is in my district, and their efforts to get an orthopedic college. It was a resolution stating support, expressing support. There really is no action. And in this meeting, you can hear one of the commissioners going on around and around about inaction and action, and this resolution doesn't have any action. Well, it actually did. Again, back to the budget. My resolution is the only one that had action today, and it was voted down, right? So that's really important and telling, because I think what I'm going to need to ask next then is, where are our funds being used? Are we using funds now for people who aren't citizens? I suspect I'm going to get an answer that we are, and we need to not do that, because we need to prioritize the needs of our citizens. We have veterans that need services. We've got homeless need services. We've got kids, all people who've been in the county forever. We've got other populations that need that funding. So,
Well, but that doesn't really answer my question. I appreciate the thoughts,
yeah.
but I mean, I look at, Colorado Young Republicans is a left-wing rhino group. How it got that way, I don't know, but it has a Weld County. I think she's a clerk and recorder for Weld County. When we were down at the state assemblies and so forth, Weld County votes just totally rhino. They vote against. They don't want to close the primaries. If you get the chair and the vice chair and the secretary of Weld County, they're all rhinos.
Well, they launch an all-out war against you and yours at
But
CDU, right?
how did Weld County become this rhino holdout county with just almost all the elected ones other than yourself? Even Steve Reeves, the sheriff, has been going over, floating over more and more over to the establishment rhino side. Is it the water, the soil, the sun?
The
What is
money.
Well, I think a lot you can point out almost all back to the opening of the primaries, right? So, you know,
Oh.
then you've got, big donors who can, help with the outcome of elections if you can advertise to people who don't have maybe perhaps the same values, as people in the Republican Party, right? So that's something that's maybe emboldened them to be who they really are. But back to your question about Boulder versus Weld County, even Boulder voted down an extra tax that would have gone into my district, and the other four commissioners voted for it. The cradle-to-grave tax. And I was shocked because I thought surely they're going to vote this in, but they didn't. And so, between that and the mill levy that we were going to raise, the three guy commissioners in particular, but I was the only one advocating for us to give that money back. Which we should have given back. And this is fresh on the heels of HH's defeat. And we had
Oh,
these
yeah.
commissioners who wanted to raise your taxes. So, I'd probably save homeowners $700 to $1,500. I was talking to one gentleman today how high his taxes went up. Some of these poor people that are surrounded by some of these developments, I wouldn't say they're poor, but they're barely hanging on because we didn't ask for this. Their property values shot out the roof. This is the people who got more than a 40%. Elevation. These are people that are almost 70 to 100%. I guess it depends on where you live. But, some of those folks would have been impacted by thousands of dollars had some of these tax increases gone through. So, these are the things I fought for to keep our taxes lower, to actually give taxes back to the people when they're due. We have our own form of Tabor in the Weld County
Right.
government, which has kept us, I think, conservative for a very long time. Because if you can grow government, as you know, at the rate that government wants to grow, you are going to have tyranny.
What about, let me
But
back to the
still, you
vote.
still haven't told me how Weld County became so rhino.
A lot of the trouble started with a change in our, and I can just point to one person, which is Kevin Ross. When he came on board, everything just really flipped around. I was attacked constantly. He was the one that led the effort to take away, committee seats. And, I have a Mike Freeman on audio saying the reason he took away my coordinator positions is because of my votes and the way I vote. And he says, you don't represent your effing district. I won't say the actual word. You have to vote with, for Weld County. I'm like, which basically means I have to vote with them. And then I asked, so why do we have districts then? So he said, so somebody could live there. Well, I thought the whole point of somebody living there is you represent the people around them, right? By actually asking them, which I ask frequently, how do you want me to represent you? And we need to represent and serve people the way that they want to be served, right?
Let me ask you this, Lori, because Karen Catalina asked is a question that I was going to get to too. In terms of the people on this the sanctuary city issue, so Mike Lynch, right? He's a county commissioner, right? Am I right there?
Now,
And he
Lynch is in the State
minority
House.
leader.
Oh, State House. Okay. How did then they? Okay, some of the county commissioners are running against them. How did who voted to support open borders, and who voted to affirm that Weld County is not a sanctuary county?
So the people who vote against were Kevin Ross, Mike Freeman, and Scott James.
Okay, and they voted. And then, and Chuck, and I know you want to talk a little bit more, but I just want to emphasize to people how appalling it is that Sherry Fife would say that this is a divisive issue. Everything shows this is not a divisive issue, right? People want the Buddha's cause. And let's just take a look at why it matters to Weld County. You have the city of Denver is now starting this week. It's closing for a week at a time various Department of Motor Vehicle offices. It's closing rec centers. It's reducing its own staff employee salaries down to zero. That hurts people, right? And they are doing that because they need to spend roughly $40 million to take care of some 40,000 plus illegal immigrants who've come to Denver. They've been housing them at these hotels, right? Think of this impact. They can't even get enough police officers anymore. In 100 days at the hotels where they're housing them, the illegal immigrants in Denver, they had 4,000 911 calls, 4,000. Now, if that happened, if you had 4,000 911 calls at your business, it would be closed down, right? If you had 4,000 911 calls at your home, they would declare it a public nuisance and shut it down, but they're just doing it. And the city of Denver can't handle it. And as you said, they're importing them or exporting them up and down I-25. So you already had El Paso County, Douglas County say, nope, don't send them here. The only way to go then is north. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's crucial, it seems to me, that Weld County take a stand. And to me, it seems like these, you know, Scott James, Kevin Ross, and I forget the other guy, the people, Freeman, is that it, who voted against taking a stand on sanctuary cities. Essentially, they're telling Denver, send them here. We're happy to have them here. And that's what's going to happen. Right.
Yeah. One of the speakers even says, you know, somebody's going to get killed and that blood's going to be on your hands. And I couldn't agree more because, I mean, this is just the first step, obviously, is declaring this, but also declaring not just with our mouths, but again, with our budget, budget. That's what a lot of these towns and states are saying. We are not spending money on this because then, again, that's how you enact policy. And I just want to, Governor Abbott, who sent these legal immigrants here, he's trying to cause pain in these blue centers, especially in the state of Colorado, who passed a suite of bills basically tying the hands of law enforcement so they can't detain illegal immigrants, tying up our court systems so we have to pay for defense. I mean, we would have already been opening a welcome mat anyway, but, you know, the federal government should be pressured to do its job, to actually enforce the Constitution, enforce our borders, and go back to the Trump era policies that actually reduced the apprehension rate to the lowest rate in 45 years. That is 800 to 1,500 a day in the Trump administration. Now we got 15, or not a day, I'm sorry, a month. Now we got 15,000. 15,000. That is crazy. That's a crazy amount of apprehensions.
And we just saw Joe Biden. I mean, and those are just the apprehensions, right? We saw now, you know, Freedom of Information Act requests found out that Joe Biden flew some 320,000 illegal immigrants, bumping people off of their own United Airlines flight and is just flying them for free to cities. And it's like, if you're a city, I mean, it's a build it and they will come kind of thing, right? And it's so like, if you say, yeah, come to Weld County, we'll pay for things, that's where they're going to come. If you're an illegal immigrant and you get off the bus in Denver, and Denver says, okay, you can't stay at the hotel anymore. So now you have a choice. Do you want to go south on I-25, where they've already told you you're not going to get anything from us? Or do you want to go north to Weld County, where your commissioners will not support you the choice is, and what does Weld County think? I think, you know, Chuck, this goes back to your question. You got to wonder if maybe there's money involved somehow, somewhere. This seems like such an easy thing to vote for, right? I mean, people support it. And I do know why, again, Sherry doesn't, because she works for Phil Anschutz as an open borders establishment guy. So she can't say close the borders, but she could have kept her mouth shut and at least respected the will of the people. But.
Well, I mean, she's a CDA chair. She shouldn't be saying anything about this.
Right.
That's damaging our party brand. Obviously, as you mentioned, this ranks highly among Democrats, Independents and Republicans. This immigration crisis is probably one of the number one topics on people's mind. It doesn't matter what political stripe they are. They see the damage that's going on. They fear for their safety and rightfully so. And we're seeing this crisis in Denver right now that's taking up the funds and taking up services that should be legitimately spent on citizens. So people are waking up to what's happening at the border finally. Right. But now we need to tell the federal government. And at some point, we need to spend money and Weld County should be included in that and say, hey, well, we'll help you send them back and have them immigrate legally. I have nothing against legal immigration or the federal government doing its job by enforcing our borders.
Right. Well, let me real quick then before you let you go talk about so the state, Dave Williams put out a thing, and I think the state, Chuck, and you know you're on the executive committee, you've got a lot of stuff you guys are going to be talking about, but at some point we'll vote on this too, and it's very similar to what you put forward in Weld County, right?
Yes, that is correct. And
But
it,
it's so shocking that Weld County has gotten so bad, and I don't get it, so bad that you have one Sherry Fife who's, I think, the most unpleasant person in politics today. Maybe there's somebody worse, but
Nikki
probably
Haley.
no. Nikki's a pleasant person. Sherry
Okay.
Fife is not a pleasant person. But so much that they want to be known as a sanctuary county, or at least not an unsanctuary county. And Mike Lynch is a disaster. DUIs, everything else. Frank Ross sounds like he's, it's amazing.
Okay.
I mean, you're so great. I just wish there were more great patriots like you in Weld County.
Yeah, and I'm just standing up for, principle. I mean, just the party planks that we've all run on and people expect from a Republican brand, that's what I'm doing in practice. And that makes me hated just for standing up for what people want me to present. A lot of people ask me to present this resolution. And this is they're asking me to vote for less taxes, less government. I'm trying to save businesses right now because one of our planning department's been taken over by a new director who apparently wants to issue social justice to people who live in the county. There's a reason why they live in the county. They don't need your environment. I'm sorry, environmental justice. That's the word. They don't need your environmental justice to teach them how to live. I mean, people being shut down in businesses where I have to call in and say, "Hey, look, they've got two permits they can apply for." Even I know that, and I'm not a planner. And they've told them, "We're going to prosecute you and get that business off." And they've been there for 13 years. No.
Wow.
So unfortunately, I've been contacted by people who've already moved out of state who've been similarly harassed and said, "I'm out of here. I'm going to Utah. I'm going to Tennessee. I'm going to Texas. Weld County's not for me." That's not something we can continue and be sustainable. If oil and gas does continue to kind of go up and down, we need more commercial and industrial, not less of
Right.
it. They pay
Right.
more
Well,
taxes than anybody else.
is there a move to be annexed into Denver? So you
Yeah.
could be part of.
Can they forcibly annex us if they could? I don't know.
I don't know. Forcibly, it sounds like
They could
the
give it a
citizens of
shot.
Weld would vote for it.
Well, I
I mean,
don't think the citizens would. It would the county commissioners would, right? It's
no, but the whole county, it's
a...
something that's gone badly wrong.
think a
Badly wrong.
magical flagpole annex if Denver could get us,
There we
somehow.
go.
Yeah.
Hey,
Maybe
Lori,
they'll do it
listen. By the train tracks or something. I
Yeah,
don't know. There you go.
exactly.
There you go. Lori,
Exactly.
thank you for fighting. I know it's
Thanks,
not
Lori.
easy for you. And because I see the attacks on you. So no, we here and our listeners, we support you. I know,
Yeah, we love
that
you.
may not, and that and a cup, cup get your cup of coffee maybe, but we do. And thank you for what you do.
Yeah, I
Thank you,
really
Lori.
appreciate it. And then tell everybody, go to caucus, by the way.
Yes.
Yes, go
For
to
red
caucus.
counties especially, that's really where the election is. That's
Yeah.
how somebody like me gets on the ballot. So you got to show up to do that. All right,
Absolutely.
cool. All right, thank
Absolutely.
you. All right, thank you, Lori. All right, there. Thank you very much. I appreciate the fight there. Oh, okay. And then it says
Jacob's got
Scott.
his hand up. Let's go to Jacob.
Okay,
Jacob?
Jacob. Hey, Jacob. Are you there? Hey, while he's coming in, Karen Cataline is just posting that Scott James just exited the primary for CD8 from a radio guy. So, oh, okay. Well, I think all the Rhino support is being thrown behind Gabe Evans there.
Yeah,
So,
that's exactly right. They were going to split the Rhino vote,
split
so
the
he
Rhino
got.
vote. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
okay. And we support, by the way, anybody there? Janik Joshi. Jacob, are you unmuted? Sometimes it's tricky. Well, Jacob works in his unmuting. I don't know, Charlene, were you? Did you have your mic open? I thought I heard somebody earlier too.
Oh, yes. Julie, are
Okay.
you there?
I am.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to say that I don't think anyone has been talking about how Trump just ran away with the number of votes. For example, in California, 79% of the vote Virginia 63, Texas 78, Colorado 63, Alabama 83, Arkansas 79. And you know, the only, and it's just amazing. In California, he got so much of the Republican vote, and I think that's probably because Nikki, I mean, because of Adam, they were the Democrats voted in the Democrat
Oh,
primary
because
to
of
get,
Schiff. Yeah, good point.
yeah,
Good
to get
point,
Schiff in.
Charlene. Well,
Yeah,
no,
so they did.
actually, they changed the Republican Party changed the rules, Ray, so only registered Republicans could vote in the presidential primary.
Oh, so they
So,
closed the
oh,
presidential primary part. Ah. Oh, so that's why he got such a high percent. See how that works? You close a primary to Republicans
Trump gets
and
79%.
Republicans vote.
Exactly. And so I think that's just a great tale. And despite all the money that was spent by Nikki Haley. And so, I mean, I just want that to be known that he won
Yes.
by a super, super, super majority in all of
Right.
those states. So
Right.
anyway, that's
No,
good
good. And we
news.
talked about that a little bit at the beginning, but you're absolutely right, Charlene. That's worth pointing out. Now, of course, you know, the Democrats are going to have Joe Biden win in the general election by more than the population of China and the United States put together, but that's my only concern. But no, I think Trump is, clearly, everything they do to try to hurt him only helps him more. People hate Biden. We were talking, my daughter would smack us for saying this. So if you ever meet her, don't tell her. But she said, I would probably vote for Trump. She said, Biden
Oh, she
sucks. And
said she's thinking she might. Well,
well,
she'd say
okay, but
probably.
yeah.
Nikki, the voter.
And
But I mean,
so anyway, so they're going to focus now on the congressional races to get never Trumpers in there to fight
right.
Trump's agenda.
Yeah.
So
Well,
that's good.
that's exactly what Americans for Prosperity said they're going to do. They're
So here in
taking away
Colorado,
from
then,
Nikki and
right, in Colorado, that means they're going to support
Gabe
Jeff
Evans.
Crank in
Yes.
CD5 as opposed to Dave Williams. They're going to support Gabe Evans in CD8 as opposed to Janet Joshi. They're going to support who in CD3?
I think they're
Jeff
going to
Hurt.
support, yeah, and
Jeff
then
Hurt over
Deborah
Ron Hanks.
Florida. I think she won't acknowledge that she has anything to do with them, but I think they'll support Deborah Flora over Bogart.
Yes,
They don't like
yes,
Bogart at
yes.
all.
No,
So,
they exactly. Okay, hey, Charlene, we got
thanks.
Jacob on, so thank you.
Okay.
Great point. Hey, Jacob, go ahead now.
Hi, sorry about that. I
Well,
just couldn't get out of
no worries.
I couldn't get out of the mute. But anyway, three quick things. I think it was in 2005 where there was a Denver police officer providing security for a party or something. He got shot and killed, and the
Yes.
shooter went back to Mexico. And I think Denver had to pay like $1 million to get the guy back.
Right.
So, you know, she was saying before, if that all starts up again, imagine what's going to cost Denver to get the to punish these people. Secondly, what was I going to say? Oh yeah, I was asked that lady from county
Uh-oh.
because of the
Jacob, you're
lawsuit in
being
New York.
What? We couldn't hear
Hello?
you.
Wait,
Can you hear me now?
you cut out for
No,
a
so I
second.
was I okay, I'm sorry. So I would ask that lady from Weld County if she's worried about JBS shutting down because of that lawsuit in New York. And the third thing was is with the fracking. You know, Denver International makes a lot of money off of that because they are fracking at the airport.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, thank you,
Whatever.
Jacob.
Yeah.
Yeah. There
Bye.
are many things.
Bye.
Hey, oh goodness, we're almost out of time. Okay, just for fun, I love this fight with Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Charlene is absolutely right. They're going to be fighting to get rid of people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Dave Williams and Ron Hanks. But so this lame former BBC reporter tries to hijack or ambush Marjorie Taylor Greene, and this just shows how the media does not control the narrative anymore, and there are courageous Republicans out there who are willing to do what Marjorie Taylor Greene did to this reporter. So, hey, Thomas, if we could please play the Marjorie Taylor Greene soundbite.
Trump is closer to picking his VP, and should you be on that list?
Oh, you know, that's the question everyone asks. And no, I don't think Nikki Haley should be on the list. But of course, President Trump will choose who he wants for VP.
Would you
And
like to be on that list?
he's got a long list. I support President Trump in any way he'd ask me. But I can assure you it won't be Nikki Haley.
And could you tell me why so many people that support Donald Trump love conspiracy theories, including yourself. He seems to attract lots of conspiracy theorists.
Well, let me tell you, you're a conspiracy theorist, and the left and the media spreads more conspiracy theories. We like the truth. We like supporting our Constitution, our freedoms, and America first. So
what about Jewish space lasers? Tell us about Jewish space lasers.
No, why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers, and really, why don't you fuck off? How about that?
Thanks.
I just love that. It's like this reporter wants to ambush her and bring up this out of context thing. And so,
well, so I finally had to figure out, you know, what is this thing about Jewish space lasers? And what it was is she wrote this rambling Facebook one in which she was attacking PG&E. And she, at one part of it, she'd say, you know, PG&E did this. At one point, she noted that a board director on PG&E was also a board member of the Rothschild Bank in Europe, and she mentioned the Rothschild Bank someplace else about right. something in a long, rambling one, which included that some people had seen lasers in the area where the fire had started in blue light. From that, they've decided those are Jewish space lasers. You go, how did you get that?
I mean, the whole thing is taking out of context. Yeah. And here's the thing, and then because we got to wrap it up, and it's not working anymore, right? No, like she said, you're the conspiracy theorist. Everybody knows it. Oh, and by the way, F off. So,
yeah, that was great. That's a fairly famous former BBC person who was always accused of being not impartial.
No, I would say that's true. Hey, and we did have time, so we'll save it for Friday. Oh, because the State of the Union speech is on Thursday.
Oh, boy, I can't wait for that one.
Oh, it should be interesting. We'll play this.
He must be. He's getting shot up right now.
We'll show another Biden freezes thing. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Chuck, I'll let you thank everyone.
All right. I want to thank Ships at Sea again, all our armed forces, along with Lori Sain for coming on. She was just wonderful, and all the people who call in, we appreciate you, and we'll see you on Party Friday.